Amen. I'd like to thank Reverend Park very much for the words of welcome. It is a privilege to be here tonight and to bring God's word. I was going to say it's a joy, but I think that would be stretching it. Our hearts have been most certainly stirred already as we've listened to the various missionary reports and also to the video presentations. I don't know about you, but I've been challenged afresh. And I trust that will be all of our experience this evening, that God will challenge us afresh as to the need for reaching out to a lost and fallen world. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to the Gospel of Matthew and the chapter 9. I'm going to read some verses together. Matthew chapter 9. And we're going to read here from the verse 35. Reading from verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Reading on into the next chapter, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Amen. And we trust and pray that God will bless to our hearts a public reading of his own precious word. Let's just unite our hearts briefly and momentarily in prayer, please. Our gracious, loving Father, we thank thee afresh for speaking to our hearts. We thank thee, Lord, for every endeavour that has been made through the witness and testimony of our church denomination. We thank thee, Lord, for the gospel preached at home and abroad. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt, in thy divine mercy and will, raise up many more labourers and thrust them forth into thy harvest field. We thank thee, Lord, that we can pray with confidence, knowing that it is God's harvest field, and Lord, that we have that promise that thou wilt send forth labourers in thy will. We pray that you would speak to our hearts this evening, bring us by faith to the cross. It is our desire above all that Jesus Christ alone would be glorified. To him we give all the praise, the honour and the glory. Amen. And amen. The mission of the church to evangelize the lost is clearly set forth in the Word of God. The Lord himself has given us that mandate to preach Christ and to preach Christ crucified. We have been saved and set apart unto the gospel that we might serve the Saviour and fulfill that commission. Now, whenever we consider the need for evangelism and its importance in Scripture, there are very familiar portions to us all that undoubtedly spring to mind right away. For instance, you'll think of the words that have been quoted already, the Great Commission in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We think of the Saviour's words to his disciples once again, quoted this evening in John chapter 4. Say not ye, they are yet 4 months, and then come of harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. And there the Lord was instructing and teaching and telling his disciples, you need to lift up your eyes. And it's evident there that their vision and their focus was not on the fields. And they had to be given that instruction. How we need the Lord to instruct us, to remind us, to teach us that we too need to lift up our eyes to the vast harvest fields of this world. Another portion that would certainly come to mind as we think about the missionary challenge, going out and evangelizing, has to be found in Acts chapter 1 and the words of verse 8. And the words of the Savior there came after his resurrection and before his ascension into glory. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Very well-known portions. Then we have this passage here in Matthew chapter 9. We find another prominent passage that emphasizes and states the need for Christian service in spreading and preaching the gospel. Look with me here at verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. What a great picture we have set before us. A great harvest of souls, but sadly, only a few laborers. It is most certainly the burden of those involved in missionary work for more laborers. You ask any missionary, is there any need for laborers and workers? And you'll find that that has to be one of their chief concerns. If only we had more hands. If only there were more people. We could reach out to more souls. We could present Christ to many more people. We are to do, aren't we, as the Lord instructed his disciples, to pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. We all can do this. We all might not be able to go, but we most certainly can pray. And we can pray that God will thrust out missionaries into the harvest fields of this world. Notice here that verse 37, this well-known evangelistic passage, it commences with the word then. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. The word then is important because it joins two phrases together. It's a part of speech known as a conjunctive adverb. It links the Savior's words found in verse 37 and 38 with those of verse 36. So they go together. They're joined. They are inseparable. You see, the basis of what the Lord Jesus here said to his disciples, this great commission, this going forth in verse 37 and 38, it is founded upon verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples. So verse 36 is the basis. Christ, the eternal Son of God, was moved with compassion. Just 2 months ago, I was on deputation in Annalong, and after the meeting, was speaking to the Reverend Harris, and he mentioned this subject of the compassion of Christ, and he brought it before me. And I can tell you it really touched the chord of my heart. And from then it's really grasped me, and I can't get away from it. And it certainly brought me to this passage this evening in the preaching of God's word. This evening I want to draw your attention in closing to verse 36, to the compassion of Christ, under the heading, moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. First of all, we have the reality, Christ was moved with compassion on the multitude. Here in Matthew chapter 9, we find that there were a number of miracles that the Lord performed. He healed the woman who had the issue of blood 12 years. Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead. The healing of the two blind men. We have the dumb man who was possessed with the devil who was cured by the Lord. It was a time of great activity. And the words of verse 35 remind us of that very fact. It says, and we read, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people." And here, this time of activity with the Savior, it reaches now this pinnacle. It comes to this climax. For here the Lord views a multitude of people before him. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion in them. I want you to consider some things here about this multitude that was before the Lord. It was a vast multitude. He saw the multitudes. The word saw, it means more than just to see with the human eye. It means to understand, to perceive, to be aware. You see, the Lord here not only outwardly, visibly saw the crowd of people, a vast number and a great need, but more importantly, he perceived, he understood the great need that was before him. There were multitudes without Christ, without salvation, without hope in the world. Before him stood a multitude of lost, poor, needy souls. And as he viewed this multitude, the Word of God tells us here that his bowels yearned for them. He was stirred up in his innermost being. He was moved with compassion. It was not only a vast multitude, but it was most certainly a vulnerable multitude. For here we read in verse 36 that they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Christ viewed this great multitude as sheep without a shepherd. They were distressed, in danger. There was no one to protect them, to care for them. There's no one to guard them, to lead them. Here we find that man in Scripture is described and pictured as being one who is a lost sheep. That is the condition of man. In his fallen nature, he has gone astray. All we like sheep have gone astray, turned away from the Lord. This word for fainted here in verse 36, it means to flay, to rend, to mangle. And it sets before us most very powerfully man's fallen nature, his depraved condition. You see, not only was this multitude, a multitude of lost people, of lost sheep, but in the sense they were beaten, they were torn, they were bruised, they were mangled. They were burdened, distressed, in danger. Can I say for any in our meeting tonight without Christ, you're not saved, you're not born again of the Spirit of God. You're pictured here in this passage. You're just as that lost sheep. You're in great danger. And you're vulnerable. Here we have a picture of a multitude who were without the Lord. Not only did they faint, but they were scattered abroad, having no shepherd. Those words are very similar to words found in 1 Kings chapter 22. "I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd." You see, the greatest need that this multitude had, and of course there would have been many needs. They would have been need to have been rested. They were tired, no doubt. They would have been needed to be fed and to be for their thirst to be quenched. But beyond that, there was a greater need, the need of their soul. For the greatest need that man has is to know God. That's why he was created, to have that relationship with God. Here we have this multitude of people. The Word of God reminds us that where there is no vision, the people perish. You see, the Pharisees and the scribes, they had failed to bring the truth to these multitudes of people. And so the Lord here, as he looked upon them, his heart was stirred and moved. He was filled with compassion. A vast multitude, a vulnerable multitude, moving along, was also a valuable multitude. precious to the Saviour. How valuable and precious is the soul of man. The Lord Jesus did not just look here at a multitude of people, but he valued the worth of their souls. In John chapter 10, we're reminded that the Lord Jesus himself said, "I am the good shepherd." And here is he's using this picture here, the sheep, and sheep without a shepherd. And as he's stirred and he's moved with compassion, he's telling the people, he's reminding us, he is that good shepherd. We read in Luke chapter 15 that the good shepherd left the 99 to seek the one that was lost. And how valuable is the soul of man. Maybe there's someone here this evening and you would say, "Well, I don't really feel of much worth. I'm of no value." Let me tell you, you are valuable to Christ. And as the Lord here beheld this multitude of burdened, distressed souls, he was moved with compassion. Now, there are many other portions that teach us about the compassion of Christ. We haven't time to go into them, to look at them this evening. I just want to leave one of them with you. It's found in Luke chapter 7. And there we read about the Lord Jesus in relation to the woman of Nain, the woman whose only son had died. And here he was in the coffin, he was in the bier. Her sustenance was now gone. He would have provided for her needs. And we read here in verse 13, "And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, Weep not." You see, he's seen her tears. And can I say to those parents in the meeting this evening or those listening online, you have a wayward son or daughter, one who is far away from God, a family loved one, and they're a lost sheep. They're out in the mountains, wild and bare. Let me tell you, Christ sees your tears. And he's able to answer your prayers. The reality that Christ was moved with compassion, the multitudes moving along quickly, the recognition that Christ was moved with compassion toward us. Mark chapter 5, we have the wonderful conversion of the demoniac of Gadara and how the Lord not only met that man, but how he saved him and changed him and transformed him. What a wonderful account of the grace of God. It's a picture of salvation. And what the Lord has wrought for each one of his children, each one of his people. Here in verse 19 we read, in response to the man of Gadara now wanting to go with the Lord, to be at his side, to speak for Christ, he says in verse 19, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." Is that not our testimony this evening? As we think about the multitudes in the world, as we think about how Christ was moved with compassion on them, does it not bring us to recognize, Lord, I was amongst that multitude. I was at one time as a lost sheep out there, but now I have returned unto the shepherd and bishop of my soul. We need to recognize and never forget that the Lord chose to have compassion on us. He chose it. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. We are undeserving. We are ill-deserving sinners. But the Lord has been merciful to us. We ought to lift up our hearts this evening in thanksgiving and praise and worship. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, for all the Lord have done for me. I will never cease to praise him. The Lord has done so much for us, hasn't he? He's brought us from that horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He's brought us from a hopeless past. He's lifted us from a helpless position. We could do nothing to redeem or rescue our souls, but Christ had compassion on us. Christ was moved with compassion on the multitude. The recognition that Christ was moved with compassion toward us. But in closing, I want you to consider the requirement that we are to be moved with compassion toward the lost. We should not be like the disciples in Mark chapter 10, who when they rebuked those that who were like those, or who rebuked those that brought little children to Jesus. Here you had these mothers bringing their little ones, and yet they were stopped and they were rebuked. May we not be like the people in Luke chapter 18 who told Bartimaeus, "Bartimaeus, be quiet. Don't be calling out to the Lord. He doesn't really care about you and understand." May we not be like the disciples who in Matthew 15, in response to the distressed mother who brought her young daughter to the Lord in the needs, who said, "Send her away. The Lord's too busy." Rather, we need a vision for the souls of men and women. We need to view the world and the multitudes as Christ viewed them. "Mine eye affecteth my heart." I know that the attitude of the world oftentimes can be, well, in relation to certain people, well, they've made their bed, let them lie in it. They've chosen that pathway in life. I'm so thankful that the Lord does not deal with us that way. But he is filled and moved with compassion. A while back, just last year, the Lord brought me one evening to a place of complete brokenness, having been brought into contact with a young person whose life was ravaged through drugs and addiction, just in teens. But it was absolutely heartbreaking. I remember going home that night, and I confess the tears were absolutely tripping me. I cried and I cried sore. And then the thought came to mind, the world perishes while the church sleeps. But then the thought came, but I'm part of that church. And I tell you, I had to confess to the Lord, "Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for my lack of vision. Forgive me for my lack of concern. Forgive me for those times when I become too comfortable." Are there not those times when our hearts are stirred, we're moved? We know the Lord has been dealing with us, challenging us, constraining us. Perhaps as you've watched the videos, as you've listened to the reports, you've been moved afresh. There are times that we have that new zeal, that renewed vigor. We've all experienced that as God's people, haven't we? You're more determined, motivated, committed, going to give more, going to go more, going to do more. But then the burning flame becomes just a flicker. You ever wonder why that happens? What's the cause? Why is it that we lose our missionary focus and zeal? Can I say it's not so much that we take our eyes of the harvest, but it is a reality that we take our eyes of him. We lose sight of Christ. We certainly need to be moved to have that vision, because there's nothing that will motivate a Christian more, nothing that will motivate us as God's people, that will stir our soul, that will keep us in that constant place, that will constrain us to reach out to a lost and falling world, nothing than the sight of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said it was the love of Christ that constrained him. We have a duty, a responsibility to serve the Lord, but let me say, we have a privilege. There is no greater privilege than serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to close this evening by quoting some words from the great Baptist preachers we mentioned already, C.H. Spurgeon, when he preached on this text, Matthew 9 and 36. And can I say that what Spurgeon said here of London is applicable to everywhere? I quote, "Surely, brethren and sisters, If you love him and wish to be like him, you cannot look on this congregation without pity. You cannot go out into the streets of London and stand in the high roads among the surging masses for half an hour without saying, "Whither away these souls? Which road are they travelling? Will they all meet in heaven? What, live ye in London? Move ye about in this great metropolis? And do ye never hear, or do ye never have the heartache? Never feel your soul ready to burst with pity? Then shame upon you. Ask yourself whether ye have the Spirit of Christ at all." The great pioneer missionary Henry Martin said, "The Spirit of Christ is the spirit of missions. The nearer we get to him, the more intensely missionary we become. We need to be moved with compassion. We need to be burdened, to be constrained. But, child of God, that will only come through an intimate, close relationship and walk with Jesus Christ. We love the souls of men primarily because we love our Savior." Jude said, "And of some have compassion, making a difference." What about you, young person? Young man, young lady? You say, "Well, I haven't got what it takes. I felt the need to go into the Lord's work or to preach the gospel, but I'm not able. I wouldn't be able to preach." You're the very person the Lord is able to use. The very person. May the Lord stir our hearts. May we see the multitudes as Christ viewed them. And may we live for his praise and glory, for Jesus' sake. Amen.